Hello, everyone, and welcome. So today we're going to do an episode kind of in like the draft phases of this sort of like analogy I've been working on. But there's this trend in the influencer and guru world of trying to, I've noticed they're like trying to make God cool again. You've got your Petersons, like Jordan Peterson doing it, your Hubermans, like Andrew Huberman, and even now Joe Rogan. And the reason Joe Rogan's, he's not come out like fully, but he's becoming much more sympathetic. And they're all kind of now like preaching their own brand of spirituality and self-improvement. And like, for example, like Joe Rogan is an interesting one because he's been kind of like an outspoken atheist for the longest time. And the point of this episode is not like atheism, because I'm not an atheist myself or whatever. I don't think about the God question in that way, in that reductive way. But I still find it interesting when it feels like these kind of self-helpy packaged life gurus kind of change their positions and become more sympathetic. Because in one sense, you could just say they're grifters, but I think there's something more to this. And I've noticed this trend where they move more towards this acceptance of God, or more open to like, and it's often a Jesus-like figure. And like I said, it's not a problem at face value. I'm not here to critique the flaws of religion. It's over and done with that, or at least we'll save it for a different day. But I want to examine why this happens, and just the general understanding of these, what I want to call, you know, people's favorite podcast daddies, you know. But like, look at it this way. Like we're all kind of players in this theater of life, right? You know, that kind of cliche, acting out our parts in a drama, you know. And this is where, in my thought process, it connected to like the myths of Greece, where I feel like we kind of cast ourselves, or I guess in some sense become cast into three roles. And I think in some sense, obviously this is a bit oversimplified, as I'm just still trying to formulate and trying to word this, but we kind of have like people striving to be like a Prometheus, where, you know, stealing the fire from the gods to bring wisdom to mankind, and gods being like the structures we live under, like becoming aware of that and how there is this underlying uncertainty to be had about the structures, to question those. There's like wisdom in that and knowledge in that. And Prometheus was kind of like the rebel in that sense. And then you have like the structures that influence our desire without us really knowing it. You know, becoming aware of that. That's what Prometheus kind of did. And then you have those yearning to play like the role of like Apollo. He was kind of like a more of like a priestly conduit between, let's say, heaven and earth and the gods, and kind of like, in a sense, maintaining the structure and finding laws and symbolism and structures to maintain that system, you know? And then there are those who are content, which is, like I said, there's no value judgment on any of these, honestly, but they're those who are content kind of being the chorus, kind of like echoing whatever tune the Apollos are speaking. There's even when it like appears as rebelliousness or questioning the system, in a lot of ways it is this kind of contained opposition in that sense, where you're still like speaking the tune of your favorite priest and podcast daddy and Apollo, because you're just taking the little sound bites and the little bullet points that they speak about. You know, it's like kind of like the people that their version of activism is posting little infographs on Instagram and calling that activism, and 99% of the time they do not go and check any of the primary sources. You know, they're just it's like conduits of being a priest, and they're, it's kind of like priests all the way down to just, they're constantly consuming each other and then regulating that system of information. You know, basically you have your wise guys, you have your priests or your oracles, and like the Greeks would call them oracles, but you have your wise guys, your priests, And you have the people who generally follow the priest or start becoming a wise guy after following a priest. And that's, like, I think, the interesting distinction I've noticed in all of this. And I'll try to, like, make it full circle. Like I said, this is kind of like in a draft phase. Now, here's what I think it gets interesting. Because I think these Apollos in I think I'll call them, like, Apollos or priests in waiting. They often believe they are kind of Promethean figures. They think they're bringing some, like, original newfound wisdom to some extent. They don't believe themselves to be like the little submissive people that they are for the system. They think they are touched by some, like, divine spark. They don't say that part out loud. Obviously, I'm kind of being hyperbolic in my language with that, but I think they kind of, like, abandoned their quest for questioning, honestly. And some of them were once part of, I would say, like, that chorus, the people consuming the priests, simply, but now they're simply, like, parroting back what was told to them, becoming their own priest, maintaining the status quo. But anyway, as for, like, say, like, the would-be Prometheuses, at some point, I think, in their journey of Mount Olympus, they take a good look at the priest that they were following, and they realize most of the time they're just sometimes they're not even that eloquent, but a lot of times they're just eloquent fools, kind of creating a fake image of this certainty package, this self-optimized product to consume and be your voice of everything you need in life, of how to live and how to be and all that stuff, you know? So, well, like I said, I'm going to connect this. And that's when they managed to kind of, like, I would say, when someone starts questioning those priests, they kind of start getting that kind of, like, almost like Promethean fire when they start questioning everything around them. And it's kind of like us today. Amidst all of our modern complexities, we are still playing out, I feel like, these kind of age-old myths, this Greek mythology, you know. Anyway, I think this desire, though, for meaning and being told a purpose is still happening. I think that's why these, like, guru types hit a certain threshold and they begin, like, looking like, okay, what's the next step in giving people this optimized package? I need that divine touch, you know. I think that's what happens. You know, but, like, where instead of people getting their meaning from their, like, local sermon, like it used to be before we had the internet and podcasts and all this technology, you'd go to your local sermon from your local priest, but now they're getting it from a podcast. But someone, say, like Huberman, is about optimizing every area of your life, but at some point that becomes hollow. There's something missing. And the question then arises, what is the point of all of this optimizing? What am I living for? Is it to live longer? Is it to be healthy? So these podcasters turn to God because they need a package to provide. You know, they don't want to go get originality. They need a new package for them to consume. And the Jesus package happens to be a widely known one, right? And I think these podcast daddies have become products themselves. And they need a product to fill that spiritual void. So where do they turn? Borrowed spiritual motifs. You know, the status quo. The status quo loves, you know, I think, to provide someone with the all-in-one package filled with your hopes and dreams, you know. But still, don't get me wrong. Wisdom probably isn't all that great. Or, I mean, I don't mean to say it like that. Wisdom isn't all awesomeness. This is why many become priests in our culture, you know. That's why I love, like, the example of, like, Socrates. The dude was considered the wisest of them all, even by the people who wanted to kill him. As they were putting him, like, on trial, they're saying, yeah, he's the wisest of us all, but, like, ooh, he's getting people to question stuff. So yeah, he was the wisest of them all, but they still killed him because the priests didn't want him making the people wise. He didn't want to be making them uncertain. They didn't want him making them question things and having their own original new ideas. So priests want you to stay stupid. Because if you realize that the priests themselves don't know what the fuck is going on or what they're talking about a lot of times, you might make them confront the lies they've been telling themselves. Because every priest was born from being a scared human that wanted to learn how to package a system for you to consume and make money off of. But yeah, so the point is they don't want you to see that because they'll have to face the fact that they're charlatans feeding off the hope of others like some form of a parasite. And Socrates, I think, represents a narrative, kind of like this archetypal wise man who was persecuted and ultimately executed for challenging the status quo and questioning societal norms. His wisdom was seen as destabilizing to the Athenian political and religious order, corrupting the youth, you know. He made people aware of how little they know. And this, and like when you become aware of that, you start seeking out information. And so this included how little those with authority had as well. You know, it's like how oftentimes like conspiracy theorists want to imagine that there's this group of individuals in a room controlling the world, but it doesn't take into account the foundational level of ignorance we all have as humans to just really not have knowledge of what the fuck is going on. So it's like even the point is even the authority regulators suffer from this. The system regulators, the priests. This realization is fundamentally subversive because it undermines the authority of those who claim to hold absolute power, even when the absolute power part is the silent part. It is never said out loud. The priests try to control your knowledge in some symbolic sense to keep you from becoming wise. Because once you start gaining wisdom, you start becoming uncertain, and suddenly you don't need the priest anymore. He was the idiot you were once so sure about, you might say. You might say, like, but my priest gets me to question things, you know. But, like, do you believe that? I always, like, wonder when people say that. Like, do you believe that? How often do they, or do you, or we check our sources? Do we go to the primary source? How often are we doing our own research, just finding someone to confirm our own bias, you know, to keep that identity structure in place? That's not wise, you know. You love your priests that keep you holding on to a false hope, and you love it when your priest makes you think that you are someone that questions the system and is curious, because curiosity is the thing that becomes romanticized, even when no one wants to put the work in of what curiosity actually entails. And maybe this is like something too, where I think priests keep thriving because they pretend to be certain. Your podcast daddy pretends to be certain, and every fool they convince of their certainty is one more drop of like validation to that keeps them from facing their own scary, uncertain thoughts. Now, let's talk about podcaster priests giving their weekly or even daily sermons. Who is their daddy? Your podcast daddy is the podcaster. And maybe their narcissism has gotten out of control, that they're now seeking out like a sky daddy. You know, they're thinking to themselves like, I'm a fucking idiot. I must not be able to have all this influence. Sky daddy, where are you? Like, I must have some divine connection. Tell me what to say. You know, that's why I imagine it. They seek out a higher authority because they think of themselves already as the authority. So they want to be like a conduit for some ultimate authority figure, which is often, you know, God or a sky daddy. Sky daddies or podcast daddies need sky daddies. So the priests are always kind of like these unoriginal, and they love the status quo. You know, even historically, I would say that. So they seek out a priest themselves, but that seems to end up as a sky daddy because in their own cynical way, whoever pays them the most, if you pay them enough, though, like that's another variation of it. Their sky daddy could be, you know, whoever paying them the most, such as what company or supplement brand or whatever it is, what product will get them the most money, and they start claiming that is also a do-it-all package for you. But yeah, these podcast daddies, they don't seek out other priests, because I think deep down, or not so deep down for the really evil ones, they know they're full of shit. If they were to follow another daddy, they'd have to kill that daddy in the name of Freud. Kind of kidding, but not really though. Like where they would become aware that either A, wait, I'm doing the same thing as you, I'm gonna do it better, so you have to destroy you, or B, they'll realize that they're actually full of shit. So they never seek out other podcast daddies. They just maybe have them on their pod, but you know, yeah, they don't. Yeah, I don't know. I need to fix that one a little bit. But anyway, my point is they want to become that priest and take their audience, because they can't possibly follow that priest. They know they are spewing hollow lies in some subconscious sense, or maybe even a conscious sense. It depends on the person, I guess. But hollow lies of certainty. You know, another priest would be looking in a mirror for them, and that's no fun when you feel hollow inside. So instead of finding a podcast daddy to follow, they seek out a sky daddy, because it's the only way they can validate their own lie and keep themselves certain of their hollowed out existence. But yeah, remember, they need you to see them as an authority figure to keep the image alive, because if they lose you, they lose themselves. So they're always wondering then, what half-baked narrative and idea can I feed you on this day? You know, hooray! It's great, but yeah. So you want someone to tell you what to believe? I think we a lot of us want that, and I fall into it too. Like, it's not like I'm saying all this stuff, and it's not like I'm immune. Obviously, I like to say it. It's like a reminder for my own. It's a reminder for my own inner stupidity. You know, to kind of embrace being stupid and being okay with that to some extent, and then you try to make yourself less stupid. Yeah. But I also like thought of a different example. Or I guess one point. It's also like, if you ask the podcaster daddy too many questions, just be like, shh, don't, you don't need to be asking those questions. You just need to buy my supplements. And if you buy my supplements, you'll just realize life is good. Like, you feel great. Just buy those supplements that have no study supporting them. But just keep buying my package of the self-optimized life. And things will just work out. I don't know when, but they'll work out, you know. Let's take another example that's a fun one historically, is witchcraft. Witchcraft was a spiritual practice that didn't have a lot of rules. It wasn't optimized. It wasn't self-optimized for the individual. It was very uncertain. It was a kind of vibes-based thing. It became people's kind of outlet for spiritual connection, I think, in a lot of ways, for a variety of reasons that we can dive into another day. But the point is, people were seeking out deeper meaning. And maybe I'll dive deeper into this if I turn these thoughts into like an essay, but they're seeking out deeper meaning and using knowledge that didn't have a central authority figure. They were doing a practice without a practice, you know, the horror. Like, there's obviously some things that they would borrow, and there was some kind of common practices, but in general, there's no like authority figure telling you what you should and shouldn't do necessarily. But the priest, often Catholic priests in this case, specifically Catholics actually, which is a bit ironic because Catholicism loves to fight or loves to light candles and use smoke to cleanse your dirty, dirty soul, which is very witchcraftian in some sense. But the Catholics, they didn't like witchcraft, is my point. But they are priests. They need your validation. They can't have you becoming wise, empowered, and self-determined doing your own spiritual practices. No. You must follow their will, their judgment, their trust their knowledge, or that their lack of knowledge is better than your lack of knowledge. They'll simultaneously say, like, believe what you want. But I'm just saying, if you don't believe what I want, there's a burning stake with your name on it, is basically what they'd be saying. So the wise man So this is why I like this example, because a lot of times in the witchcraft, in the witch trials, it was obviously women that ended up targeted. But Athens, the wise guy was Socrates. So the wise guy gets to drink poison to die, but the wise woman gets burned at the stake, you know? So you see, if you were to truly question the established narrative or introduce complexity and uncertainty and difference into the discourse, and in some sense engaging in a Socratic act to lead you to even more questions and to question your podcast daddy, this would threaten the business models and the authority structures built on that consumer certainty and algorithmic predictability that we live under, you know, that package that they found a way to optimize in selling you to keep you coming back, feeding into it. So they often feed you a sense of opposition, but that opposition happens to be always contained, because a podcast daddy is good at this. They know what they're doing. I actually don't want to say they know what they're doing. A lot of, I think, is maybe subconscious, but they want to feed you a sense of giving you opposition. But like I said, it's always contained and consumed by the structure, so it becomes a new product that they can then fucking sell you. But anyway, stay curious. Until next time, yeah, it's time for you to get the fuck out of my labyrinth. Peace.